And beginning with verse 13. Now, John has been talking about the marvel of being adopted into the family of God. How marvelous that is. The greatest thing he said he'd ever seen, ever heard of. Marvelous, marvelous to be adopted into the family of God. Forever his, unable to be disinherited. And now he talks about another marvel. And he explains to us that there is proof in the pudding. It is when you taste it, when you look in the mirror and you see the change. We sing that song, The Mirror of His Word, Reflections That I See, make me wonder why He doesn't give up on me. But there is a reflection there that you and I can see is when you and I begin to look like Jesus. And we look the most like Jesus, and John's going to tell us that. We look the most like Jesus when we are loving the brethren. When we're loving on one another, when we're loving the brethren. I'm so amazed at families, kids, siblings who fight like dogs and cats, but you let someone jump on one of them and see what the others do. They will come to their defense. And the church is not to fight like cats and dogs and then us come to one another's defense. But we are to come to the defense. We are to love those that it's difficult to love. And Jesus is going to say it's just the proof is in the pudding. When we love one another, that's where the proof is. And having a forgiving heart, premeditated forgiveness, loving regardless, loving even though we might be thumped on sometimes, we still love those folks. Those that might say a harsh word to us, we still love them. Folks that always say the wrong thing just at the right time, yet we still love them and we express our love to them. And we cannot do that without looking like Jesus. We can't do it. We cannot love in the way that John is talking about here without Jesus being in us and loving through us. We step out of, we're not walking in the Spirit when that happens. So, with your Bible in hand, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And we start with verse number 13 of 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Marvel not. That literally means just don't be surprised. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I don't know why we get so excited. I do, don't you? They're supposed to hate us. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. And that word perceive there is talking about we understand, we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life, he gave his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. Boy, he just meddles. He just gets to a place where the rubber meets the road and he begins to dig into our life. And now what he wants us to do here is to start seeing the illustration in our own life. Start thinking about those people that we are to love. We're to call them out by name. We're to, well, I don't mean out loud now, but though those people are to come to our mind that God said, John said here, you're love. But whoso whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now I went a little farther. I didn't go quite far enough. Let's keep going. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. On his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, which he hath given us. You may be seated. We shouldn't be surprised when the world hates us. But we should be surprised when brothers in the church hate one another. That's what he's talking about here. Then he said, we know. So this is evidence of our new birth. And so the evidence of our new birth is our love for our fellow Christians. So you and I are to be in pursuit of that fellowship. We're to pursue it. We're to take action. We're to take ownership of that fellowship. It's hard to fellowship with folks that don't want to have fellowship, isn't it? It's kind of like helping the old lady across the road that didn't want to go. It's hard for us to fellowship with people that don't want a fellowship. But here we're to pursue that fellowship. We can do our part of that. So much of the time we don't do our part. We get so consumed with our own things that we fail to fellowship with one another. So we're to desire that. Christ requires us to take this a step further. Let's look at the rules of the kingdom in Luke, the 6th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6 and verse 27. I'll find it here after a while. Up in verse 26, he said, it's a bad deal when everybody speaks good of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear. Now he is talking about the advancement of the kingdom. He's talking about the change. He's talking about when the Spirit is living in us and we're walking in the Spirit. But I say unto you, which hear, because see, not everyone hears. Not everyone listens. Not everyone wants to hear. Folks don't want to know what the truth is a lot of times. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. Who's he talking to here? An elite group? Someone other than the church? Someone that's not like us? No, he's speaking to us. He is saying this to us. It is for us. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And if you love them which love you, what thank you have? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what do you? You're not doing anything. That's what he says. What thank you have? What blessing is there in that? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what have you done then? What thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love you your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Boy, isn't that true? And ye therefore, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now here's one. I read all this, get down to verse 38, because I think it's such a magnificent verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That's the first part of it. And that has to do with what we do for others. That you and I are merciful enough that we are willing to give others what they really need. And most of the time what they really need is mercy from us. Giving that person what they really need rather than cleaning their plow or telling them off. But loving them instead. But I want you to notice the last part of this. And here is where it's tough. Here's where the rub comes in. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Using the same measuring stick or cup, God measures it out to us as we measure it out to other people. You've heard the old saying that I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, when we didn't have any to spare at all. We would not want God to do us that way. To hate our brothers is to murder that individual in our heart. Hatred can be carried out passively or actively. John tells us the one who hates is a murderer. Passive murder is to wish they were dead and to treat them as though they were dead and cut them out of our fellowship. That doesn't mean kick them out of the church. It means kick them out of our fellowship. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like her. So I'm not going to have anything to do with them. I don't like the way they treated me. I don't like the way that they acted. I didn't like what they said. They didn't treat me with respect. They didn't do this or they didn't do that. And so I'm not going to fellowship with them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. That's passive murder. When we hate, we have the heart of someone who murders. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 21. You've heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, which is to treat someone as worthless, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy guilt to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Let me just go ahead and read a couple more of these. I know I've read quite a bit, but the rest of this, it just continues to get better and better. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if that right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. If it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. John said that we should be willing, in verse 16 of chapter 3 in 1 John, that we should be willing to lay down our lives for our brethren. In the Greek language, it describes love with four different words. There's a place over by Bruno called Eros. That's one of the words for love. It's a sexual love. There's a word storage for family love. There's a Philadelphia. The phileo type of love. It has to do with brotherly fellowship. And then there's a word that you and I are very familiar with. It's a self-giving love. It's the kind of love that God has for us. The God so loved the world. It's that kind of love that He has for us. It's self-giving love. It's agape love. And that kind of love gives without any repayment expected. This sacrificial love for the brothers. John said was a demonstration by being born again. We have that kind of love. It just keeps giving. You know, if we were asked to make a one-time gift of our life, that might be easier. We just lay down our life. But here this is talking about a bit at a time, a bite at a time, a little bit at a time, that we just give and we just keep on giving. It's sacrificially given. We just keep giving. We just keep giving. It's the kind of giving that Christ gave for us. It is a giving that just keeps on giving. Christ demonstrated that love in Romans 5, verse 8. Let's look at that. Romans 5, verse 8. We think that we get ourselves off the hook if we have a little conflict with one of the church members. We go to them and we should, and we ask forgiveness, and we should, and we hug and make up, and we should. But then we're not willing to give any more than that. We're not willing to go ahead and let it and continue to give bit by bit, more and more as we give ourselves to them. Now, in Romans 5 and verse 8, look at what Christ did. But God, what is that next word? Commendeth. What does that mean? What does the word commendeth mean? Say it again. Showed. Demonstrated. He showed. God showed His love toward us. You know what the verse says, don't you? That God made this demonstration of His love toward us. And He's getting ready to really tell us here what that is all about. And He says, and God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the demonstration of agape love. That's to a people that are undeserving. That's to a people who are criticizing Christ and spitting on Christ and living their own life and going their own way. And yet the Bible says it was while we were yet sinners that He demonstrated that love for us. And then He says in John, this is how, when we start getting this kind of God love toward our brethren, it's going to change the face of the church. You see, what has gone on in our society has looked at the church as a bunch of bickering people. When Jesus said, they'll know that it's a real thing when this takes place in the church. They'll know it's a real thing. They'll know you've got a hold of it when this takes place in the church. When you announce that you're having a Sunday dinner and everybody is invited. Is that right? It is when you have an old-fashioned revival meeting and the Spirit breaks out and they're shouting all over the building and they'll know you really got it when that takes place. Is that right? Come on, church. Is that right? They'll really know you've got it when that takes place. It is when you have love one for another. That's what He said. That's what He said. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Laid it down. And the word laid down here means to lay it aside. He laid aside His own wishes and died for us. Look at John 13:4. This is the Gospel of John. John 13, look at verse 4. And He riseth from supper, and He laid aside His garment, and He took a towel and girded Himself. We are to lay aside our life for the furtherance of the kingdom and the church. Philippians, the second chapter, and verse 3. And Paul really brings this to the heart of the matter when John says the church is to love one another. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And you know, if husbands and wife would take that, it would better their marriage. If co-workers would do that, it would better the workplace. And if the church would do that, it would make it a fantastic place to be. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, listen to this, let each esteem others better than themselves. That we put everyone else on a higher level than ourselves. Every once in a while, someone will call me on the phone and say, I am sorry for bothering you. I'm sorry for calling. I'm sorry for bothering you. And I said, don't apologize to me for calling me. Don't apologize. This is my job. This is what I do. I need you to call. It's job security. It is what I do. Don't apologize for calling me. Here, Paul is speaking to the church and he's speaking to all relationships. And he says, let everyone esteem others higher than themselves. You know, I might call the President of the United States and apologize for bothering his time, but you won't call the pastor of Osage Baptist Church and apologize for his time, because he wants you to be higher than him. And you should want him to be higher than you. And the same way with your wife, and the same way with everyone that you have. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What does that mean? Let me get through here. What does that mean? That every man is supposed to look on the things of others, not on his own situation, but on the situation of others. This is how I would interpret this. If I set my focus on making you successful, that's what God wants me to do. Not making myself successful, but making you successful. And whatever it is you're doing, whatever job you have in the church, that my job, if I'm doing it right, if I'm doing what the Bible says for me to do, that my job is to make your job successful. But guess what? Every one of us in the church should have that attitude about every other person in the church. We want to make their situation successful. Let everybody think on what other people are doing instead of what they are doing themselves. Making their situation successful. We have an opportunity in the church office to write quite a few letters, and sometimes folks will call and they want a letter of recommendation, or they'll want something from the pastor. And you know me well enough to know that I didn't pass spelling with flying colors. Any of you that's ever read any of my stuff, that where I did the writing myself, and you know that my penmanship is not the best in the world. And we did a letter a week or so back, and I long-handed out, and then Betty corrected all the mistakes in it and typed it out, and even corrected the grammar, I think. And she lets me read it back over, make sure it says what I wanted it to say when she gets through with it. And I said, "Betty, you always make me look good." And she said, "That's my job." But guess what? It is our job. Every one of us in this church, it is our job to make the other person look good, to improve them, to build them up, make their situation the one that we want them to be successful. And so we work at making them successful. Very last thing. What does it mean to bring this down to real life? What does it mean to love in real life? To really love in real life. And this is what I think. This old deal that the guy told his wife, "Now I told you before we got married that I loved you. And I know that I haven't said that in the last 45 years. But if I change my mind, I'll tell you." That's awful, isn't it? Do you know what love is? Love always, always, listen to me, love always shows action. It is, love is indeed. It is a deed. It is demonstrated through deed. It is demonstrated through action for the other person. It might be a hug. It might be a gift. It might be whatever their love language is that really does it for them. It may be in time. And that's what a lot of people need. They need some time. It needs to just be given in time. And a lot of us think, man, our time is just so precious. We just don't have any time to give to somebody. Let's just give them some kind of gift. When that's not what they needed at all. They needed some time. It's indeed. And it's in our giving to them. My wife wants me to go shopping with her. And there's not anything that I'd rather do. Go to the dress barn and sit there in that little chair and say, I don't know. But if I am going to express my love to her, I'm going to do that. The way she can express her love to me is to help me work on something. Believe it or not, we was working on the lawnmower together yesterday. And I needed some help. And we had Bella and Ty, and I looked around and Bella had the ratchet in her mouth. I never had the urge to put a ratchet in my mouth, have you? But you know that suited me. I like that. I like for us doing that together. It is in us giving of ourselves to the other person. And we talk about doing this for our husband or for our wife, but it is to be through the entire membership as we do for one another, as we love on one another. We're to we are to practice this fellowship that John is talking about. It's to be a practice in our part. And it's so easy for us to get offended some way. Somebody say something just a little bit off to us, and maybe we're in the wrong kind of mood for that, and we get our feelings hurt. That's so crazy. We don't need to do that. We need to love on one another. Let's stand together.